Such a friendly group. I decided a couple weeks ago that with the men's retreat and a new Bible study on Wednesday night, I'm really talking about kings. And I thought I'd do it on Sunday morning too, because we are all kings and queens and we have our kingdoms. And so I started a series on Sunday, but I'm also doing it on Wednesday night. And really, yesterday, the men's retreat was the same kind of thing. So today I want to look at the prayer of Solomon as he began his reign as king. And we should pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you speak to us today. I ask that you use me and you take the words that I speak and work it into us the way you want it to happen, so that we would understand what your word is for each of us here. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you might say, well, Jack, I'm not a king, and I don't have to take care of a kingdom. So what would a prayer like Solomon's prayer have to do with me or all these other kings? Well, the truth is, we all have kingdoms. We have a lot of stuff. We're responsible for people. We have things that we have to take care of. We have kingdoms in this world. We are kings and queens, and we have dominion over things. And these are our kingdoms, which the Lord has granted for us to rule over and be responsible for in this life. Some of us are good rulers, and some of us aren't so good. Some of us have large kingdoms and some of us have small kingdoms, but we are kings and queens of our lives. Now, if you need wisdom to navigate life, to help you make decisions for you and for your family, maybe your business or in your job place, then the prayer of Solomon, which we're going to look at today, is a prayer that you need to say at this time in your life, maybe. Now, in order to ponder this prayer, I want us to first use our imagination. I want you to play a mind game with me. It's called What If. Now, we used to do that when my kids were small. We'd say, what if your nose was upside down and you had to catch all that rain when you were out? What if? You ever played the game What If at your kitchen table or something, or with your kids? Consider your life. Where do you need wisdom right now? Maybe a new job, new relationship, maybe just navigating the daily confusing circumstances of your life. Now, let's say you're pondering those situations or you're doing a little bit of self-examination about confusing pathways of life. What if you decided to come here one night and you have a key to the church and you come in and you sit down in here to pray? Or just kind of talk to God, because that's what I do. I just kind of talk to God. And you begin to wonder, I wonder if I'm really alone. What if a flying saucer landed outside? I wonder if God is watching me right now. I have opportunity to come in here and pray at night or during the day, even for that matter. And I'll tell you this, this place can be really spooky at night, especially if you have an active imagination like I do. It can really give you the heebie-jeebies at times. So you're sitting here with your creepy thoughts, and you start to pray about that situation, your life, the confusion you might be facing at this time. Dear God. And you stop and think, you know, I always start that way. Dear God. Like sending a letter to a business acquaintance. Dear sirs. Dear God. Well, anyway, you kind of be sitting here and you unload all your thoughts and you sit here in the silence, and then it happens. A voice out of the air.
What do you want? Ask, and I shall give it to you.
And your heart is in your throat. It takes a few minutes for you to begin to regain your sanity, and then it comes again.
What do you want, Jack?
And you start talking out loud to the voice. Well, I guess I want a lot of things, God. Happiness for my family. Security, yes, God. A little bit more security. Like $1 million in small bills. Oh, well, I guess that's not what you want me to say. Is it really what I want? Pretty tricky, God. Let's see. How about being a better Christian? Like one of those saints of old. No, better not do that one. They're just not my type. How about peace on earth? That's what all those women in these beauty contests asked for. Peace on earth. But I got this feeling, God, that's not what you mean. And besides, I'm the one who came to you. So what do I want? And silence fills the room. It's really quiet. What do you want? Then something really weird happens. The two candles on the communion table miraculously blaze. And lying on the communion table is an open Bible. And you get up and you walk up to the front of the Bible and you look at it. And guess what? It's open to 1 Chronicles. It's a big Bible. How do you read out of this? In that night, God appeared to Solomon. I want you to read with me. You can do any voice you want. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 7 to 12. And we need to move along because this is a heavy Bible. Here we go. In that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said to God, "Thou hast shown great and steadfast love to David my father, and hast made me king in his stead. O Lord God, let thy promise to David my father be now fulfilled. For thou hast made me king over a people as many as the dust of the earth. Give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people. For who can rule this thy people that is so great?" God answered Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked possessions, wealth, honor, or the life of those who hate you, and have not even asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may rule my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. I will also give you riches, possessions, and honor, such as none of the kings had who were before you, and none after you shall have the like." So Solomon came from the high place at Gibeon, from beyond before the tent of meeting to Jerusalem. He reigned over Israel. That's the big word. In the night, God appeared to Solomon, and he said to him, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon prays, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before the people." He prays for wisdom and knowledge. In chapter 3 of 1 Kings, there is an expanded or slightly different version of this same prayer, and I would like for us to read it together as well. So here we go. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, "Ask what shall I give to you?" And Solomon said, "Thou hast shown great and steadfast love to thy servant David, my father, because he walked before thee in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward thee. And thou hast kept for him this great and steadfast love, and hath given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king in place of David my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people whom thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give thy servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern thy people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this thy great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for your understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. This second group here gives you a little bit more in terms of this. He says, give thy servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this thy great people? Now, if you could put these two together, you get they're slightly different prayers. It might go like this. Give me now wisdom and knowledge and an understanding mind, that I may discern between good and evil, and navigate my way through life. Now, we may not be kings of countries, but we are rulers of our kingdoms in this world. We have our stuff, our families, our jobs. We have our relationships, our situations. We have our finances and circumstances and our problems. Our little worlds, our universe, each of us, such as they are. They're all part of the kingdom of our lives, and it can be pretty confusing at times to know what to do and what to say and how to handle people and how to handle situations that come our way. That's what Solomon was dealing with. Very much what we have to deal with. How to handle the kingdom of his life. So he prayed, give me wisdom and knowledge and an understanding mind to discern between good and evil and navigate my life and rule correctly. That's basically what that prayer is. Is there anybody here? You might need some wisdom and knowledge. I'm not asking for hands, but is there anybody here and you might need an understanding mind so that you can discern, that is, figure out what is right and what is wrong in a given situation or circumstance? Is there anybody here? You have authority over people. That is, you might have employees, or you might have children or family, people in your business or civic responsibility. You might be a church officer right now in this church, and you, in a sense, rule over other people in certain matters. That's probably close to all of us. Do you want wisdom and knowledge? Do you want a discerning mind? Then the prayer of Solomon is a prayer for you to use. It is a prayer of one of God's people, and if you're one of God's people, this prayer can be a model prayer for your prayer life. And there are three things that are involved in this prayer gift from God, and it is a gift from God. The three things are wisdom, knowledge, and discernment, or an understanding mind. Now, the first thing we need to realize about this prayer is that if God answers it, it is a gift. You can't study your way into wisdom and discernment. Now, you can get some knowledge by study, but wisdom and discernment are a gift from God. But even with knowledge, sometimes that is a gift as well, and not a matter of work on our part. Knowledge, supernatural knowledge. Have you ever known the answer to something, a situation or a question? You didn't know where you got it. It just sort of came to you. I actually have this happen to me a lot of times in dreams. I might be thinking about something, and suddenly I am given the answer to something. Now, that's the kind of knowledge we're talking about in this prayer. It's knowledge that is given to us in certain life situations, which keeps us from dying or somebody else from experiencing some kind of death or suffering in their lives. That is divine revelation, where you just kind of know something. Solomon prays for that kind of knowledge. You can too. Knowledge is like an explanation of truth or an identification of truth. We need knowledge of what we are facing, and sometimes this is not a matter of book learning, but God revealing truth to us at the appropriate time in the appropriate situation. One of the best examples that I ever talked about, of revealed knowledge, happened at the Battle of Midway in World War II. Now, there was a movie about it. Charlton Heston was in it, about the battle. But in the movie, you get the reason that we won the battle against the Japanese, and it was because we were lucky enough to get the information as to where their ships were before they knew where our ships were. And the knowledge of their position and strength helped us to win the day because we had some knowledge that they didn't have. It was revealed at the time of the battle. Knowledge, revealed knowledge, not book learning. And Solomon prayed, "Lord, give me knowledge." Now, there's a joke why Solomon was so rich. In the first place, he had insider information. And there's something to that. He had insider information to his stock market. He did have inside information, but it was divine in nature, and it came to him. The second thing in this prayer is wisdom. Now, wisdom is a gift. You can read about it, you can study about it. The book of Proverbs is full of wisdom, but the truth is it's still a gift that God gives to us. And we need to pray for it. Wisdom preserves our lives from human pitfalls. Wisdom keeps us out of death traps. One of those death traps is eternal damnation, by the way. It is wisdom to know that when he reveals to you to believe that Jesus is the Savior, he is, and you begin that process of making him Lord of your life. And when you receive him, that is actually receiving the wisdom of God, because wisdom is good to save our lives. Wisdom is also good if you are successful and you have a lot of money. Pride comes to people who are successful and rich. Wisdom gives you enough humility and understanding that you're just like anybody else in reality. And wisdom gives you that kind of humility in terms of this. And you can accept the gift that is given to you. And it may be larger than others have, but it's still God's gift to you. And you're the steward of it. You're the steward of your gifts. You're not the creator of those gifts. Wisdom also preserves you in affliction. Wisdom guards us from the pitfalls of disillusionment and disappointment and frustration, despair, hopelessness. Wisdom causes us to consider that both affliction and success happen in this life. Wisdom is protection, and wisdom is a gift. It gives us divine perspective. We are able to consider the work of God in our lives and the lives of others. Wisdom teaches us the truth. Who is able to make straight what God has made crooked? God is in charge, and humility is the first point of wisdom. A healthy respect for who you're dealing with. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If God straightens something, it is wasted effort trying to bend it. If God bends something, it's wasted effort trying to straighten it. Wisdom replaces resistance against God's ways as well. Did you know that? It replaces resistance against God's ways and moving with it, no matter what the circumstance. When times are good, enjoy them. There is no reason not to. And when the day of adversity comes, when things get bad, consider God has made both of them. In the hard times, when the bottom falls out of your life, domestically or financially, maybe it has to do with your health, might be with relationships, it might be your job or maybe your business, wisdom allows us to step out of our lives a little bit and examine and evaluate where we really are. And this is an important aspect of wisdom. The ability to step outside yourself and take a look at what's going on in your life. Maybe it has to do with your sin. It might have to deal with your own self-deception, your own problem, those things that you're responsible for. And it also points out those things that you're not responsible for. In the days of prosperity, wisdom keeps you from getting a big head. In the hard times, it keeps you from falling apart in despair and frustration, disillusionment. Solomon prays for wisdom. Do you need a prayer for wisdom? Do you need to pray in your life, Lord, give me wisdom? Now, wisdom is more than just a stance or a viewpoint. Wisdom is also the application of knowledge. Have you ever found yourself in a situation, boy, I have, where you know the answer? You really, I know the answer. That is, you have the knowledge of an answer, but you don't know how to put it into practice. Wisdom is putting what you know into practice. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. This is also a gift from God. We all need to understand this truth about this stuff. Wisdom, knowledge, discernment are gifts that God gives us. Have you ever been in a situation when you suddenly had it revealed to you how to handle a situation? The right timing in terms of application? I have. There are times I know what to do here. Wisdom is not only the knowledge of how to do something, but also when to do it and where to do it. Sometimes we get in a repeating cycle in our lives. We repeatedly do things that really destroy us in small ways or large ways. We may even know we're doing it, but we don't know how to break the cycle. We can't seem to get free from it. Sometimes the Lord or an agent of the Lord will give us the wisdom, the way out, or maybe it's the way into something new. It doesn't matter. Discovering the way is wisdom, and that is also a gift from God. Wisdom shows us the way things work. Wisdom shows us the patterns in life, the way people work, the way life works, the way you work, what makes you do the things that you do, and the way God works in your life. Wisdom is a gift from God. So Solomon prayed for not only knowledge, but also wisdom. Do you need to pray for divine wisdom in your life, in your kingdom? The third thing that Solomon prayed for was an understanding mind to discern right from wrong, good from evil. Anybody here need that ability? Well, I say you need to know what's right and wrong, what's good and what's evil. An understanding mind that discerns right from wrong, good from evil is a gift from God. This is all a gift. It's not a learned ability. It is an ability that the Lord gives us, sometimes instantaneously or spontaneously. It gives us the ability to figure out what we are really dealing with in a given situation and then to make the judgment we need to make. Solomon prayed for this gift. You parents, if you're raising kids, buddy, you better be praying for wisdom, knowledge, and discernment. I figured that one out a long time ago. Now, there's a perfect example of discernment in practice in the reading from Scripture in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 to 28. And I'd like us to read it together. Here we go. Then two harlots came to the king. That's Solomon, by the way. And stood before him. The one woman said, "Oh, my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house. And I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. Then on the third day after I was delivered, this woman also gave birth, and we were alone. There was no one else with us in the house, only we two were in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while your maidservant slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead son in my bosom. When I arose in the morning to nurse my child, behold, it was dead. But when I looked at it closely in the morning, behold, it was not the child that I had borne. But the other woman said, 'No, the living child is mine, and the dead child is yours.' The first said, 'No, the dead child is yours, and the living child is mine.' Thus they spoke before the king. Then the king said, 'This one says, this is my son that is alive, and your son is dead.' And the other says, 'No, but your son is dead, and my son is the living one.' And the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So a sword was brought before the king. And the king said, 'Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other.' Then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, 'Oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and by no means slay it.' But the other said, 'It shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide it.' Then the king answered and said, 'Give the living child to the first woman, and by no means slay it. She is its mother.' And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king, because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to render justice." Now, you may have heard that story, so you think, wow, that was really smart work to do. But think about it if you were in the situation and you're the king. Two prostitutes are brought before him. They live in the same brothel. Both have had a child recently. One of the babies has died, and they're fighting over whose child is still alive. They accuse each other of having the child that died. And so Solomon says, "How am I supposed to know whose child this is, since you accuse each other and you're the only ones that were there?" So he proceeds to get a sword and go and divide the child in half and give each of the women half. The real mother pleads for the life of the child. So Solomon knows who really loves that child and who is willing to die to self in order for the child to live. Where did he get this kind of discernment and wisdom? He knew an eternal truth. The person who truly loves is willing to die to self in order for life to continue in another person or a business or a situation or a relationship or a marriage or a family. Solomon had been given divine knowledge, divine discernment, and divine wisdom of how to handle the judgment. An understanding mind with the ability to discern good from evil helps deliver people from torment and oppression and affliction from evil. It is used to identify the works of the devil and evil people. It has also given a person the ability to expose error, which happens regularly. You can't learn a discerning mind. It is a gift from God. Solomon prayed for the gift of a discerning mind. Do you need to pray for discernment between right and wrong and good and evil? When God asked Solomon what he wanted, Solomon prayed, Lord, give me wisdom and knowledge and an understanding mind that I may discern between good and evil. And it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for these things. And so God granted his request, and on top of that, he threw in $1 million in small bills. And he had a long time to live. Are you a person who needs this kind of prayer? If so, we're going to do it together as we close this. So let's pray. Lord, I come to you with all of us who are here, and if we need this prayer, we pray it. Lord, give me wisdom and knowledge. Lord, give me an understanding mind. Lord, give me that mind that I might discern between good and evil. And those who wished and prayed that prayer said, Amen.